In the Gospel of Matthew, while he was talking, an official came in and knelt down in front of Jesus and said, "My daughter has just died. But if you come and lay your hand on her, she will live." Yeshua, with his Talmidim, got up and followed him. Jesus returned to Galilee for the third time. He likely had met this Jairus before. He had spoken in most of the synagogues in Galilee. And Jairus was a leader, probably the chief elder, who conducted the services in the local synagogue. When he returned to Galilee, Jesus was interrupted by two incidents. The result, two miracles happened. Jairus came to Jesus face to face and fell to his feet, asking healing for his daughter. And the woman approached Jesus unseen from behind. In the Gospel of Matthew, the complete Jewish Bible reads, a woman who had had a hemorrhage for 12 years approached Jesus from behind and touched the tzitzit on his robe. But in the Gospel of Mark, the New International Version reads in verse 27, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. And according to the Gospel of Luke, the New International Version read in verse 44, she came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. The Tree of Life version, one of the Messianic translations, Jewish Christians read in verse 44, she came up from behind and touched the tzitzit of Yeshua's garment. Immediately her blood flow stopped. So I use four different kinds of sources here to explain the garment of Jesus. So the account of woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years interrupts the narrative to show that delay during a critical hour of the girl's illness could not keep Jesus from healing her. So as for the woman, I think that it is safe to say that her ailment was female in nature. Her bleeding was probably menstrual hemorrhaging, which had made her ceremonially unclean for all this time, according to Leviticus 15:25-31. As a doctor, Luke was especially sensitive to the fact that this woman had spent all her resources on doctors, yet could not be healed. Even with the crowds pressing against Jesus from all sides, he was immediately aware of the touch of the woman, who was instantly healed of her bleeding. No explanation is given for how Jesus knew that healing power had gone out from him. So this woman has lived with a social stigma. What courage it took to go into the crowd? The faith it took. She is breaking some social and religious restrictions. In Luke 8:44, the New International Version used the words his cloak, edge of his cloak, and then the two Messianic Jewish Bible translations used the words tzitzit on his robe and tzitzit of Yeshua's garment. Tzitzit means fringe, which means singular, and tzitzit are fringes. It means plural. So let us remember that Christianity came by our Lord Jesus Christ, originated in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2. So let's get to know our Christian Jewish brothers, also known as the Messianic Jews. Observant Jewish men in Yeshua's time and today wore fringes on the corners of their garments, following Numbers 15:37-41. So these fringes are tied in a special way and have a unique appearance. Their purpose is to remind God's people to obey His commandments. The woman touches this part of Yeshua's garment, perhaps thinking this could somehow heal her. And being afraid, she approached from behind. And this is also why she hesitates to answer Jesus' question, who touched my clothes? The touching of the feet suggests an unspoken request for Jesus to remember written in Numbers 15:39-41 and to intervene for her. Yeshua says to her, "Your trust has healed you." Referring in trust in Yeshua, Jesus. It was her trust, her faith in Him, not the fringes, that healed her. And according to the Jewish culture in Matthew 9:20-21 indicates that it was specifically the hem of Jesus' garment that the woman touched, which is important detail from a Hebraic viewpoint. The English word hem in the King James Version, used in many scripture translations, refers to the Greek word kraspidon, meaning a tassel of twisted wool. The woman was in fact reaching for the tassels on the four corners of Yeshua's garment. And these tassels were instituted by Adonai, Lord, when He told Moses to instruct the people of Israel to put them on every garment they wore and to continue to do so through every generation. The tassels are intended to remind the people of God's commandments. There are important things to remember about these tassels in particular. They are a mixture of linen and wool which testify that the people had some connection to the priesthood because of the wool. Realize you may not be called to be the apostles. You may not be called to be the prophets or the evangelists or the pastors or the teachers to equip the church for service. But you have a connection to the ministry of the church because everyone is called to share the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Some of our roles are different, but those in the fivefold are here to equip the others to do the work of the Lord. Different job specifications, but all of us have a connection to the ministry of the church. This means full participation, not just watching from the sidelines. In Numbers 15:38, the word translated border or corner is the Hebrew word kanaf, which can also be translated wings, extremity, or edge, as it is 76 times in the biblical text. Therefore, the corners of the prayer shawl are often called wings. The same word is used in Malachi 4:2 and translated wings. For this reason, the corners of the prayer shawl or talit are often called wings. Hanging from the end of each corner was a tzitzit or fringe in obedience to the biblical command. The earliest mention of kanaf is found in Exodus 19:4. "You yourselves have been seen what I did to Egypt, and how I carried you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself." Jews have recognized the fact that God's law, symbolized in the tzitzit of their prayer shawls, is their guardian. Just as the prayer shawl surrounds the praying Jew, so God surrounds His people. We can intend that when putting on the prayer shawl, that it separates us and shields us from outside distractions and from foreign thoughts. The large prayer shawl surrounds one and symbolizes protection. When a Jewish man wraps himself in his prayer shawl, he symbolically places himself under God's sheltering love. As you cover yourself with the prayer shawl, you have a physical and symbolic awareness of the fact that you are secure in the shadow of God's presence. Being under the wings of the Almighty God. When you put on a prayer shawl, you should think that the light of the Infinite One is hidden within this prayer shawl that you wrap yourself, and that when the wings of the talit cover you, you are covered in the wings of the light of the Infinite One. The origins of the prayer shawl goes back to the command of God in Deuteronomy 22:12. Make tassels on the four corners of the cloth you wear. During the first century, there were several Jewish traditions associated with the tzitzit concerning the Messiah. One was that these knotted fringes possessed healing powers. Both of these Jewish traditions may have had their roots in the prophecy of Malachi 4:2, where the Messiah is said to be coming with healings in his wings. Certainly, the woman with the hemorrhage knew of these traditions, which might explain why she sought to touch the corner or the wings of Yeshua's garment, prayer garment, which is talit in Hebrew, and it's also known as the prayer shawl. I want to show you the small talit, call it. I have it here. So I will say the blessing before I put this on. Blessed are you, Lord, our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us to wrap ourselves in tzitzit. So this is how I just follow how the Jewish people wear this talit. And bless the Lord, O my soul, O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed in glory and majesty. Wrapped in a robe of light, you spread the heavens like a tent cloth. What is Jesus' prayer garment? The wearing of the talit or prayer shawl was commanded by God to the Israelites and Jews. Jesus perhaps wore a talit with tzitzit in Matthew 9:20-22. On the other hand, the talit was sometimes used to indicate the social status of the wearer. Indeed, the Pharisees sometimes wore extra long fringes to affect a display of piety, a practice that Jesus condemned in Matthew 23:5. Two reasons why we study the talit or the prayer shawl. First, the Bible is Jewish in origin. In Romans 1:16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. Second, the book of the New Testament is in fact a Jewish book. It was written by Jews, mostly about 90% Jews. Written especially for Jews, equally to the Gentiles. And Jesus is the central figure. The Hebrew word tal, it contains two words. Tal, meaning tent, and it, meaning little. Thus, you have little tent, or little covering. Each man has his own little tent. This was the personal prayer closet. The tabernacle in the wilderness is 150 feet by 75 feet. Between 2 to 3 million Hebrews cannot fit inside the tabernacle. Therefore, God gave each his own private sanctuary where they met with him. It was an intimate praying space and time set apart from anyone else, totally focused upon God. This was their prayer closet, as in Matthew 6:6. So Hebrews under the prayer shawl could be said to be dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God and under His wings, in Psalms 91:1-4. The word talit is not originally Hebrew. It is an Aramaic word from the root TLL, meaning cover, and does not appear in the Bible. Rather, other words meaning robe or garment are paired with words meaning tassel or fringe to indicate the proper attire. So other sources say tal means dew, alluding to the morning dew that covered the manna in the wilderness in Exodus 16:13-14. The word talit does not occur also in the Torah, though the verb appears and means to cover over in Genesis 19:8 and Ruth 3:9. The talit actually inspired the design of the Israeli flag. The flag of Israel is a constant reminder of their one God and their command to obey the commandments of God, law or walk, every day. When the Jews of Israel fly their flag, I have the Israel flag here. I got it when I attended the walk, walk with Israel in CNE, that, you know, last time. Then I walked with them. So they gave us a lot of stuff, but not this one. This one I got it from them. And flags, different kinds of flags. So as a souvenir. So when the Jews of Israel fly their flag, they are announcing to the world, we are God's chosen one. He is our God, and there is none other. It is a flying talit. Okay? This is their flying talit. The mystery of the prayer's wall has been lost to non-Jewish Christians for 2,000 years. We Gentiles. It was designed by God Himself. It was revealed the name of God. It was revealed the words of God. It was revealed the home of God. About the knots, God said in Numbers 15:38, tie a string around your garment, referring to the Israelites. And when you look at it, you can remember me. Now, since Jews were supposed to remember God's law with the fringes, they are tied in a certain way. Each sextet consists of 5 double knots and 8 threads, a total of 13 elements. This number added to 600, the Hebraic numerical value of the word tzitzit, points to the 613 commandments of the Torah. Sometimes, when we read the Old Testament, we read the 613 laws. And many times Christians say, well, we're under grace now, not under the law or Torah. That is true. However, if you would read most of the 613 biblical commandments in the Torah, the 5 first books of Moses in the Bible, you will find that we Christians keep them without thinking about it. Because it's more than just not stealing, it talks about how we work out this faith when this happens. The knots on the fringe are not merely decorative. Knots are tied in specific patterns, and it is considered an art form. The knots have a pattern of 7, 8, 11, 13 windings around them. And these patterns of winding the fringe correspond to a significant series of numbers that represent letters. The entire pattern spelled out, God is one. About the stripes, the blue stripes are significant for several reasons. Blue was a difficult dye to reproduce, and it was very expensive. Because of this, the blue in the swan is representative of God, and is to remind the wearer of the rarity of the divine. The geometric nature of the stripes also connect intricate knots to the metaphor of the stripes. I want to show you second one I have. This one is different. This is a messianic prayer ritual. Means the new covenant messianic prayer ritual. So before I read it, I have to say the prayers. So there is a lot of rituals when you are dealing with this. You know, the messianic and Jewish people. You're gonna see a lot of things that we are. That contrary to what we do as non-Jews. So you have to kiss first. So blessed are you, O Lord, King of the universe, who has fulfilled all the law through Jesus, the Messiah, and have covered us with His righteousness. So after you say the prayer, you will wear as what they use to do like this. You remember sometimes there is a lot of movies. Ten Commandments, Moses, we always wear like this. Okay? So it was shown into the four corners of this authentic prayer's wall are 4 timeless scriptures. Malachi 4:2, bottom left, which is here. And Matthew 14:35, This is here. Oh. Okay, and 2 Corinthians 5:21 on the upper right, and Isaiah 53:5 bottom right. So this is all the scriptures that was sold in here, in the four corners. So the question is like, who will a messianic prayer wall? Although historically, messianic Jewish men have worn the prayer wall, Jewish women can also wear it. When a Jewish boy reaches 13 and a girl 12, they may wear one. Visitors, Jew or Gentile, to a messianic Jewish synagogue may borrow a wall from a common rock, but they must say the blessing or the prayers before putting it on. The New Covenant prayer wall bears the early Christian seal. A few years ago, a clay jar was excavated in Israel which carried the early Christian seal that contained the menorah, Star of David, and the fish. It is the sign known as the early Christian sign. This sign is placed on four corners of the prayer wall and contains the seven candle holder on top, the Star of David in the middle, and the fish on the bottom. The fish was one of the symbols used by Christians for identification during the Dark Roman occupation in the Holy Land. The Greek word for fish is ikes. As early on the first century, Christians made an acrostic from this word, Jesus, Christus, Theo, Yios, Soter, meaning Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. When threatened by Romans in the first century after Christ, Christians used the fish, marked meeting places and tombs, or to distinguish friends from foes. According to one ancient story, when a Christian met a stranger in the road, the Christian sometimes drew one arc of the simple fish outlined in the dirt. If the stranger drew the other arc, both believers knew they were in good company. Water baptism, practiced by immersion in the early church, created a parallel between fish and converts. The second century theologian Tertullian put it this way: we, little fishes, after the image of our ikes, Jesus Christ, are born in the water. Putting on the prayer shawl is a ceremony in itself. The prayer shawl is held in front with the collar facing the wearer. A prayer is then said and collar is kissed before pulling it over the head. It can then be pulled onto the shoulder. Traditionally, the prayer shawl would be worn in the morning, any day, but generally not in the afternoon. The prayer shawl is a gown or cloth, is traditionally worn by Jewish men during religious ceremonies like morning prayers, Torah reading services on Shabbat, Monday and Thursday, Yom Kippur, circumcisions, bar mitzvahs, weddings, blessing the children, and burials, and has special fringes or tassels called tzitzit on each of the four corners. As a Jewish man in Israel, in Luke 4:16, Jesus had on a prayer shawl when he was in the temple, and he came to Nazareth, where he was brought up, and he entered, according to his custom, into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and stood up to read. Jews were commanded to wear a four-fringed garment. When you look at it, you shall remember my law and remember me. There were five books of Moses, the Torah, and so the prince has five knots, so that reminds us of God's law. God's name in Hebrew is a word that Jews never pronounce. YHWH. Yahweh has extended an open hand unto salvation through the Son. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him God's name has four letters. Since the prince has five nuts, there are four spaces between them. Consequently, when a Jew looks at the prince, he remembers God's law and God's name. That is the Jewish significance of the prince. Also recall the woman who had an issue of blood for 12 years. She approached Jesus. The King James Version says that she touched the hem of his garment. Rather, she touched the fringe of his garment. And thereby, she was touching God's word and God's name. God's law and God's name is what the fringe symbolizes, not the hem of a shirt or the skirt. The fringe or the tip symbolizes Jesus himself, the word and the name. In biblical times, Jewish men wore their prayer shawl or talit all the time, not just a prayer. The Apostle Paul was a Pharisee, but also a tent maker in Acts 18:3. And because he was a tent maker, as they were, he stayed and worked with them. Because the Hebrew term for tent and talit is the same. Many believe that he made prayer shawls, not tent structures as we know them. But in Greek, the word tent maker is skenophoioi, means leather worker. There's a different meaning here. But Paul was a rabbi, and according to Jewish practice, every rabbi must have a trade. They were not allowed to take any money for preaching or teaching. The Jews had two sayings. One, he who does not teach his son a trade teaches him robbery. Two, excellent is the study of the law along with a worldly trade. For the practice of them both makes a man forget iniquity, but all law without work must in the end fail and cause iniquity. The command that Jesus' men wear fringes on the corners of their garments is directly from God. He wanted Israel to constantly be reminded that they were a distinct people, set apart for service to the one true God. Even the clothing of the Jew reminded him of his special calling. The tzitzit was a clear indication to the world that Israel had a God-ordained mission. The Jewish prayer shawl certainly has biblical significance, and the symbolism within it is interesting to explore. But it is not a requirement for non-Jewish Christian believers to wear it today. So you're not obligated to wear this one. I'm just wearing it to show you how the Jewish people wear it. So the Gospel of Matthew provides an account of Yeshua, or Jesus, observing his commandment. The word spread throughout Israel that a great rabbi and healer had come. Multitudes of people sought his touch, thinking this might even be the long-awaited Messiah. Matthew's account describes the healing that took place when a woman who had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years approached him from behind and touched the tzitzit on his robe. This one. For she said to herself in Matthew 9:21-22, if I can only touch his robe, I will be healed. Yes, was stern, saw her and said, courage, daughter, your trust has healed you. And she was instantly healed. There was a tradition that a person could be healed if he or she touched the fringes of the Messiah's garment. The fact that this woman reached out to the tzitzit of the Messiah was a statement of faith, not superstition. Her reaching out to the healing power of God was an indicator of her spiritual condition. So it is not surprising that Jesus validated her action. She was expressing her faith in Jesus as the Son of Righteousness with healing in his wings and declaring her faith in God's prophetic words. The woman was instantly cured, but she was understandably fearful when Jesus singled her out. After hearing her explanation, Jesus stated that her faith in him has brought about her healing. Why did she touch his fringe? It is indicated that during Jesus' time, during the first century, there was a scripture in Malachi 4:2 that talks about there is healing in his wings. Many believe that the fringe on the bottom of the prayer swan is what is being referred to as the wings, and that there would be healing in his wings. Why is that important in connection with Jesus? The reason why it is important with Jesus is because of all the people that day, this woman actually knew who Jesus was. Because the belief was, you know how there will be a true Messiah? There will be a healing in his wings. What was it Jesus said in the midst of everybody pressing into him? Who touched me? Power has gone out of me. She touched one of the corners, one of the hems, one of the fringe, and one of the six feet of Jesus. She touched Jesus' authority. She connected with Jesus' status. She connected with Jesus' purity. She knew Jesus' true identity. Because the true Messiah will have healing in his wings. Let everyone know when this woman touched Jesus, power flew out of Jesus, because this woman knows who Jesus is. We need to remember Jesus' identity. We need to touch a hold of Jesus' power. We need to touch hold of Jesus' purity. We need to touch hold of Jesus' identity, because Jesus will give us the proper status, what it is to be a child of the King, the Lord of Lords. So we choose which identity we want. Do we want the identity that the world gives us, or do we want the identity that Jesus sent? That we are a peculiar person, that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we are an overcomer, that we are not defeated. It is up all to us. Sometimes we have to choose who Jesus really is, regardless of what the crowd says to us. During the delay caused by Jesus' interaction with the bleeding woman, the daughter of the synagogue leader died in Matthew 9:23-26. The natural conclusion was that she was now beyond the help of Jesus. However, Jesus stated that the same kind of faith that had brought about the healing of the bleeding woman would bring the dead girl back to life. In Mark 5:41-42, he took her by the hand and said to her, Talita koum, in Aramaic, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. When Jesus commanded, child, get up, her spirit returned to her body. Then she got up and had something to eat. It is not known by why Jesus insisted that her parents not tell about him, you know, raising their daughter from the dead. Now she was alive just after Jesus went to see her. This could be no hiding the fact that Jesus raised her. When we face with trials in our lives, we must act in faith like Jairus and the woman. We must believe and go to Christ. We may be in the thick of a trial right now. Go to Christ by faith. Would it be correct for us to hear Jesus telling us through the word today, do not fear, only believe, and all will be well? Faith in Christ is always the answer. Believe and act on that belief. Believe that Christ is more valuable than any pleasure sin could bring. Faith will drive us to act, and let's claim by faith that we believe His word. Let's humbly remind the Lord of these promises that we call on Him in our time of trouble, that Jesus will deliver our loved ones and us. When He does, we will glorify Him. So the deliverance we may be seeking today is not deliverance to comfort, but one in which God's glory will be magnified.